Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.O. Covan. I'm fat, and I'm here with producer Mike. Hello, producer Mike.
Hi, everybody. Hi, J.O. How you doing?
I'm in that kind of mood, Mike. I thought, let's start the people off with a laugh, but like a instead of a calm before the storm, a laugh before the rage.
Yes. Well, my question is, because you came in, and I was, for the listeners, I usually have to name the session that we're about to record. So I can categorize it. Sometimes it'll be JL RFK, JL Beach Boys.
Allegedly JL JFK. It's the missing episode.
It is the missing episode. But you came in today. I said, what is the episode? And you said, I don't really know, which to me usually means that it's going to be one of those episodes where you're really down on yourself. And I'm gonna be sitting here scrolling on Poshmark while you're like, I don't know, I think I'm just done, dude.
Yeah, I'll tell you the difference. I know I'm done. See, that's the twist on this week's episode. I went to Boston this Saturday. I got up at 4:30 a.m. caught a 6:20 a.m. train. Went to see my nephew play soccer in Boston. It was a 20-hour day from wake up to arriving home.
Yikes!
Yeah, and I guess that kind of fatigue will you know, it's like that's my version of like a what do they call it? Like a sweat lodge or a ayahuasca journey. That's where I just sort of
ayahuasca journey.
I obtain a sort of clarity about my life.
Right.
Like I'm gonna go in different order. I'm gonna start with today first.
Uh-huh.
Now today I posted a video. I posted a video relatively late last night, like 9 p.m. when they announced that Bad Bunny was doing the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yes.
So I did my thing. I did a Trump video, outraged at Bad Bunny, and in 20 hours, it's hit 1 million views on Facebook.
Yep.
Over 500,000 views on Instagram. I'm sorry, over 500,000 views on TikTok and over 300,000 views on Instagram. On YouTube, where I get paid the most, 6,200 views. Where I have the most followers, the fewest views.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start getting these celebrities were following me on Instagram. They're discovering me, you know, a little late in the game.
Anybody worth mentioning?
You know, Ron Perlman, I guess, is somebody. He shared two of my videos on his stories.
Yeah.
But I've transitioned from like getting artists to follow me. When I say artists, I mean art we don't care about, like pottery and painting and things like that. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I was very big into that, I guess, very liberal world, maybe.
Yeah.
And then now I've progressed into like black rap artists I've never heard of, or music producers that I've never heard of, and life coaches. So I'm really... It's like a video game. It's Instagram, the video game. I'm now up to level 3, life coaches, and Ron Perlman.
Yes.
but it's one of those things where you're just looking and going, well, I played this smartly. I did what I do well, and I played it smartly, and this will yield me probably, you know, as of today, probably $500 worth of revenue.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, for $0 output.
Right.
But, you know, then I had to get a comment where somebody said, you know, I never thought I'd see somebody but this might be better than Matt Friend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned this.
And my new slogan is never let a slander go unanswered. I don't know, that's a new slogan. I seem to really live by that.
I've known you for like 10 years now. It's not new as far as I'm concerned.
So I just kindly wrote, you know, put might in quotes followed by a laugh emoji.
Yeah.
And you know, brevity is the soul of wit and rage in my case.
Yeah, sure.
So that was, but you just, you know, as I look through what I'm doing, and it feels so pathetic at the same time, because you're like, yes, I made a video, and I do this because I want to build a fan base and get more opportunities to perform, and that's not happening. But there is such a yin and yang every time I post a video now, where I'm like, oh, I hope this blows up. But there's like this idea that it used to be, I hope it blows up because that might lead to something.
Yep.
More recognition, representation, a chance to do more of what I do. Just a rising tide will lift all JL ships, mm-hmm. podcasting, stand up, whatever it may be. And it doesn't. It's just like, well, that was a good day. Okay. And for some, and the problem is I'm not built for this world because I came up a certain way and I still believe in a certain way.
Yep.
And the kind of cold, calculating content mercenary, and Matt Friend, just as an example, you know, when somebody said that, they replied to me when I wrote that, and I said, here's the thing. If I did Howard Stern and somebody said my Howard Stern was as good as Matt Friend's, I'd be equally dubious of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, no, that's a ridiculous statement. But it just, none of this really matters anymore. I've become like, I'm not a nihilist in real life, though I'm getting there. But in comedy, it really has become just a, if I'm having a good day, I can make something. And I can feel good about it independently. But eventually the feeling of this meant nothing will catch up. And not in a, for anybody who's out there like, oh, you seem down. Yeah. But like, it's not like I'm down because like chemical imbalance or something. It's like, if, you know, Kurt Cobain, you know, if that's what he did in the 90s,
yeah,
this guy wouldn't have made it past eighth grade.
No.
He would have been like, I was about to do a Smashing Pumpkins song.
The World is a Vampire.
Yeah. what would be a good, like,
spot on my rage.
All content.
Yeah.
Done. He won the talent show in eighth grade with his song All Content.
Yep.
And then he died.
Bing, bing, bing,
horribly.
Bing,
yeah.
Bing, 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 bing,
exactly. Though I always got annoyed that they kept making the unplugged version the default. I was like, I like the studio version.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I wanted the studio version to be the one that got played.
Because Unplugged just had a moment where it was like the biggest fucking thing.
Right.
Between Nirvana, Jay-Z, and Eric Clapton. I mean,
oh, yeah. Oof. Okay, so that was just today. That was today. Mm-hmm. But over the weekend, like the first trigger was just a little thing, but it's, you know, I can always take offense. But Laura's in Canada for a wedding at Banff, which is supposed to be really super nice. And, you know, I felt bad about not going. It was really work related. And to be fair, I prioritize my vacation time for the gigs I have,
mm-hmm.
obviously, but I felt bad because I was supposed to go. It's a very nice place.
Yep.
Now, when Laura tells me that a half hour into their flight, as they're basically trying to race the storm that hit New York.
Yep.
And then the flight attendant was like, is there a doctor on board 30 minutes into the flight? I was like, you wouldn't have wanted me there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have wanted me there.
That's something I think we both are happy we missed.
And then they went up into like the mountains in like a gondola, I think is the word, where she was like, it only fit four people. And some of us were even like, huh. And I think Laura, to make herself feel better, was like, just think, you know, downward social comparison, just going, oh, if JL is here, he'd really be in bad shape.
Yeah.
So I think I provided some support there just by being a worst case scenario that wasn't there.
Yes.
You know, never underestimate how good being a shitty partner can be to your partner when you're not around.
Because it does enhance. Yes. You not being around enhances the good time.
Think of how happy Tina Turner was after Ike Turner. Right. He never gets credit for that.
She really should thank him.
Yeah. Well, now she can. She's dead. Nice going, Tina.
Right. Yeah.
But
ungrateful.
But I just noticed her in a picture wearing heels. Not at the wedding. Laura. Yeah.
Yeah.
But just as like at like the rehearsal dinner night. And I just wrote, well, that can't be you. I see heels. Never responded to that.
Oh, no.
And so, I was just like, mm-hmm, you know. Another, Vegas, meanwhile.
Another Gaga situation?
Vegas, meanwhile, it's, you know, sneakers and flats for, you know, the shit pack over here.
Yeah.
Mm. The crap pack. Why didn't I run?
Crap pack? Yeah, crap pack's great.
Yeah, why didn't I run? That was terrible. But then I did a weird thing, and I know I don't give a shit this week. You can, if you like to listen to me chat and banter and whatnot, great. If not, you've already left.
Right.
But then I did, and my Patreon people know this. By the way, a lot of good stuff on the Patreon right now. My Slow Horses recaps are back. Slow Horses and Peacemaker, two best shows on TV right now. You don't watch either?
No.
Peacemaker's really good. You're like a comic guy.
Yeah, I tried to get, I remember trying to watch the first episode. And it just, for whatever reason, it didn't really click for me.
That's
but
okay.
I also just don't really watch TV anymore.
Sure.
The way, you know, it, that
I know you heart radio. You don't heart TV.
I don't heart anything anymore.
Peacemaker, the last episode of Peacemaker, season 2, episode 6, I believe is worth just that episode alone is worth getting into it. It was so good. And then Slow Horses is my favorite show on TV. Like currently running, yes. So I do recaps of Slow Horses. There's a bonus podcast and a new book review up in the last week. So it's only $3 a month. So if you want to not support this episode, but the show in general, go join
That'd
up.
Be nice.
And I'm in DC this Saturday for 2 shows. Whoop-de-doo. I hope you get tickets because it's, for many reasons, it could be my last time doing comedy in DC. Just saying.
Where it all started.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it all started. It should end there, but it won't because I have gigs in Philly, Toronto, and Charlotte. So oddly enough, it'll end in Charlotte, I guess, which makes no sense. Although the black guy who tips is in Charlotte, and he's been one of my, he and Pete Dominic were the two shows that kind of were the ventilator and IV for my comedy career at its very lowest, and they still sustain me. But anyway, a friend of mine, not one of my closest friends, but somebody I know from Williams basketball. He's a year older. He requested a cameo. Mm-hmm. It was for another guy in his class that we also played basketball with. And so it involved me doing like our coach and our assistant coach from when we played. Now, as you can imagine, these were great 25 years ago.
Sure. Yeah.
Very rusty. Very rusty. The assistant coach, I was proud of how well I pulled it off, given the rust. The head coach, I had to rely on my memory of like the jokes and the sayings and things to at least...
You had to brush off the act.
Yeah. It was more like the script was good.
Right.
But I tried. I was alone in my apartment with Cookie while Laura's, you know, walking around in high heels in Canada. Sorry, was there a tall gentleman who you wanted to be closer to in Canada that you just couldn't find in New Jersey? Anyway, it's all jokes until JL is in a casket.
It's literally just stoking the flames of the Lady Gaga episode.
Oh, no, but she doesn't listen to the show, remember?
Oh, I know.
Here's what I do, Mike. When I send out those signals like, hey, I'm a little upset at home, by being a miserable fuck, that's how I keep the hoes away.
Right.
Because the hoes think there's an opening, like, oh, is this my chance? Oh, no, he's like an off-putting monster.
But you switch the energy up on
exactly.
him.
Exactly. Right. So they're always like, no, oh, I thought it was safe. Don't touch the JL stove. Yes, it's still hot.
Right. A true Machiavellian.
Not in that way. Very unhot physically, but temperament very hot still. Stay away. So I do this cameo and I literally write in the note. I'm like, thanks for ordering. I hope this doesn't suck. Please let me know if it does. Like, I'll refund you. I don't want to, like, you know. So I'm on the train ride home from Boston and a good friend of mine from the team, one of my classmates at Williams, writes back to me and is just like, and another classmate, a good friend of mine from the class of 99, writes to me like earlier in the day, like, by the way, funny video, blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, cool. Okay. Then my other friend from my class writes to me, he's like, by the way, hilarious. Everybody's loving it. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And then he says, yeah, we shared it on the like class of 98 to 04 text chain or email list. And as I sat there drinking my complimentary bottled water in business class on Amtrak, I said, well, that's funny. I'm class of 01 from the Williams basketball program. Let me check the last 8 years of texts and emails to see if I've ever even been on one of these. Huh. Seems that I'm not.
Yeah.
Seems that I'm getting feedback from my teammates and friends about how awesome I am on the group chat that I've never been part of. And this is as funny as this is, and it's meant to be funny. This was in a series of tiny and big moments over the weekend of me just questioning what I'm doing. And it comes even, and I know, JL, stop being so miserable. No, the 2 million video views I have in less than a day, that used to do something for me.
Yeah.
Because there was a hope that it meant something.
Right.
I am not a views equals success. I'm views equals a necessary step to success, exposure, career, art. And that's the Achilles heel now. The Achilles heel is not finding satisfaction in being content.
Yeah.
And it's a tough spot to be in, because 5 years ago when my shit blew up, I was like stressed out of my mind, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is the this is it.
Who knows what could happen.
Right. And yeah. I know I've got, you know, getting billions was like validation for like just getting my stuff out there and getting opportunities from what I can do. But this was one of those things, and I've talked about this often, where I say, you know, comedy, I think for me in my life, I came from a, you know, sort of angry household. I've joked and been serious about that. But comedy for so long.
You have joked and been serious. Yeah. But yes.
Comedy for so long in my life represented peace in my family, whether it's watching sitcoms or making people laugh.
I love this. Keep going.
And it represented a shortcut to making friends. You make somebody laugh, it's easier to make them be your friend. Except what I started to realize in my life was I made so many people laugh, whether it was college basketball, whether it was workplaces. And you sort of, the analogy I've made is that making people laugh and friendship are like chimpanzees and humans. 97% of the same feeling, the same DNA. You go, yeah, but very different. Mm-hmm. And it's that 3% that makes all the difference. And if you don't have that 3%, it can sometimes feel like people fucking hate you.
Yep.
And I know haters. I do battle with them all the time. A guy today, sidebar, on the video, accused me of being a scumbag lip syncing, pretending I'm doing Trump just to rip off Shane Gillis. Shane Gillis, if you're out there, your fucking racist douchebag pieces of shit are annoying me. So if you're not too busy, since you did give up Saudi Arabia, can you tell them to fuck the fuck off before I fucking find them? Anyway.
That's going to hurt the algorithm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just me being too alpha male. You know, there's a delicate balance.
That's right, yeah.
You've got to, you know, do rear naked choke hold and smash people's skulls in, but once you get angry
actual
at them insulting your integrity, there's no room for integrity in the manosphere.
Right, because Brazilian jiu-jitsu is just an art form.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
But don't harsh my buzz, bro.
Yeah. No, and I'm obviously angry. I'm angry at that person, and I expect Shane Gillis, he has no responsibility in this, clearly. But it's annoying because the last time I worked with Shane Gillis, the words he said when he went on stage to headline was, yo, how fucking sick is JL's Trump? I wish I had footage of that.
Yeah.
Not of my set, just of him saying that. And I would just put that 5 seconds right on everybody who claims I'm ripping Shane Gillis. Like, we went from progressive white people accusing me of stealing from Sarah Cooper, their first internet black friend.
Yeah.
And now people who are desperately seeking like a red-ish white figure who isn't Trump or Rogan to save them from their lives of pathetic garbage.
Yeah.
Now I'm coming for their new god, which is Shane Gillis. Yeah. And it's like, I'm doing neither.
Yeah.
I'm just being original and funny and having a little bit of talent.
Uh-huh.
So the analogy of friends versus, and it just made me realize, I'm like, have I reached a point in life at 46 where people like what I do, but don't like me? And I think we're going to take a break on that. And we're back, everybody. What a cliffhanger before we went to that ad. Was that Mike? Was that me showing maturity and skill as a podcaster with that tease?
I think it was us, yes. And I think it was you showing maturity, maybe not skill, but maturity as a human being. That wasn't a knock. I'm just saying.
Sure,
I think that
was.
There is. No, it wasn't. Not everything is a slight jail. Jeez. I think there's some. I think that that's like a very thoughtful approach to.
Yeah.
How you're thinking right now.
Well, and I'll tell you the other I left out one component that I talked about on the Patreon episode, which was, you know, in my building. when I go for walks, this is something I joke about, but it's also real. When I go for walks in the morning, I walk like 4 miles if I get up in time. Mm-hmm. And I'll see some people jogging, seeing people, some people walking. And I say good morning or hello to anybody I make eye contact with. And I look for eye contact. And if I get the look away, I go, okay, I'm not going to like go, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Yes.
Right. That's
look
creepy.
Look me in the eyes.
But everybody I make eye contact with, I say, good morning. I just feel like it's normal to be neighborly, to be in a town. And just, I get about a 20% return rate mm-hmm. on, not on everybody, on the people I say good morning and hello to.
Yep.
Okay. That's not a great rate of return.
No.
And then in my building, on my floor, about 35 apartments on my floor, my wing has 16 apartments, 301 to 316. And if you think 316, anyway.
Yep.
If you think that you can't look me in the eye, you got another thing coming.
If I'm walking down the hall and I say good morning, you better say good morning. and
that's the bottom line.
Because JL's sad. And like my next door neighbor just moved. He and his wife had a baby. And you know, like Jersey, that's the thing. Living in a rental in New Jersey, there's two things that happen. Rent gets too expensive for people, or they were there waiting on a home, like to, you know, building blocks of their life, and they're in Jersey because they're hoping to buy a home at some point.
Right.
But in the last year, with rents going up in my building, like I think 13 since January, I believe at least 12 of the people in the 16 apartments that I am part of moved. Mm-hmm. That's a very high rate.
Yeah.
And when my next door neighbor moved, he was a very personable guy. I think he worked in sales, you know, which is the cheat code for today's like under 40, like the cheat code is sales because you got to still have personal skills.
Yes.
So he was a very, and then they moved and I was at work and then they were gone. Like after like 2.5 years or something, they were gone. And it's not like we were great friends or anything, but you start to also look at, you know, community, towns. There is no community. Like there's that saying, like a house is not a home. I'm now like a town is not a community. Mm-hmm. A city is not a community. Your floor in your building is just 16 people living in separate spaces.
I don't know anybody that lives in this building, in my building, like where we're recording right now. I could recognize my neighbors. Yeah. I don't know their names.
Well, once the police are looking for assistance in solving the crime, they'll be like, his neighbors didn't really know him.
But I don't think anybody knows. Like, I don't, right. Like, I'm just saying, I agree with you is what I'm saying. I think it's way more common now. I know this is New York City, but like, I don't think that is.
By the way,
uncommon.
Ladies, the amount of chest hair Mike is sporting right now, I'm sorry to do this to you, but it's epic.
Well, because this is an in-between shirt, because I got to get changed for a party after this, but yes.
But it was one of those things where it wasn't like the individual, like, hey, they didn't say goodbye. Like, you realize you're not at the level. It's either people are too awkward or you're just never raised to the level of being a true neighbor. Where it's like, hey, we're moving. I'm not going to be like, well, give me your info, man.
Yeah.
I'm having a barbecue next week. More of just, hey, if this is just closure, you've been a good neighbor.
Yeah.
Like,
good
luck. And there's none of that.
Right.
Bought him a gift card for his baby. I thought that might have earned a see ya.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just him. It was like other people and that had been there for years. I felt like, hey, we talk about hockey. Hey, we chat in the elevator. You guys are the normal ones. You're not the people who are afraid of eye contact. I was thrilled when one fucking creep and his wife left. I was like, they were the worst. But like a lot of, but equal sort of lack of anything. And like I said, it's not an individual issue with any one person. It's more like in the aggregate, it makes you feel, whether it's not being a part of a team that you were a part of, whether it's your building is just like, I walk down my hallway, and this is not an exaggeration. And I know I'm probably too much in my own head a lot of the time. That's why I'm good at what I do. I may not be successful, but the reason I'm good at comedy is because I'm always bothered. Is that somebody telling you they're moving? The reason I'm good at comedy or whatever is because I'm in my own head a lot. I critique a lot of things, but I think a lot about a lot of things. And when I walked down my hallway, ever since my next door neighbor, he was like the last domino to fall. Mm. You know what I mean? It wasn't that he himself and his wife, they were nice. I liked them, but like we weren't friends. We were neighbors. We were friendly neighbors. I walked down my hall and I feel like all of a sudden I feel like I'm new and I'm alone. Like not alone. Obviously I have Cookie and, you know, Laura when she's not wearing high heels in Canada. But it's a weird feeling. And I think I don't want anybody to ever be like worried about me. Like, oh jail sounds depressed. It's not, it's like I'm hyper aware of like how my life is changing for the worse based on all the things I complain about on this show all the time. But I'm like an unwilling participant in this world has now come for me. Like everything I've been a part of. That's why when I go to church on Sundays, and I had somebody on Blue Sky, I don't know if they listen to this, but they tagged me and a couple other people in it, but they're like, I'm getting a little tired of like lefty religious people who always talk about their religion, but never share what it is they like about it. And I muted the person. So if you're a listener, you're muted. But I was just like, why are you, what? Like, first of all, you could listen to more of my work. Maybe you'd see how some of it informs, but it was just a very odd thing. But when I go to church every Sunday, I leave church so bummed out because it's the only time, it's the 1 hour a week where I feel like, and I don't even mean like I surrender. It's not that cheesy. In fact, sometimes I get mad at myself for not being as focused on the sermon or the readings or kind of prayer because I'm just so relaxed in church that it allows my mind to just go through everything in my life that's good or bad or disappointing or stressing me. And maybe that's not, you know, somebody might just call that a spiritual or meditative practice.
Well, that's what I was going
right.
to say. Yep.
But that is, and then I, of course, get mad at myself. I'm like, stop focusing on yourself. Focus on why you're here. But it is a place where I like, it's the only place where I feel completely unguarded. And I end up leaving bummed because like I'm expressing here today, it's things keep getting worse. And I know I spend most episodes talking about how Trump is making things worse on like a macro level. But I really think for me personally, but also just in terms of at any level, personal, building, town, society, like yeah. It's all getting worse. And I just don't know how we turn this around. Like, how do you teach people better manners? How do you teach people to be more engaged when like everything, hint, but everything is sort of teaching. Like, I think I like comedy and like going to church because it's something social. Even though I get stressed about certain things, it's social. Like my uncle, who passed away in 2020, but I remember he was a very social guy. And then because his drinking buddies were racist,
yes, you told us, yes.
he gave up going out to drink.
Yeah.
And I always thought to me, like I said this on the show a while back, but I was just like, he's doing the right thing. But for anybody who ever says, don't talk to your family, don't. I can do what I want, but it's very difficult to just be like, your family's Trump supporters? Then fuck off. Tell them to fuck off.
Yeah.
This world is getting lonelier every day. I don't just mean for me. I mean, it is. We can fool ourselves into thinking it's not. It is. And my uncle, when the local video store closed, he wasn't like bummed, but I bet he was bummed. Like he didn't show it, but he was really, he never got into Netflix. He loved watching movies. He never got into streaming. And I think it was because the video store represented something to do in addition to getting a movie. And it was those 10-minute discussing a video with the guy at the video store, if it was slow, that just gives you a shot. And we're all retreating from that. And I just thought this weekend was such a weird storm of all these things like hitting me in the face, not in like a but in like just a contemplative way of like, how do I change what's going on in my life when there are so many things clearly I cannot change? And I don't know the answer. I mean, any feedback as well. Yeah, I know people, there's going to be like 105 views for this, but they'll all be like, that was a really good episode. Why is the show ending?
No, I mean, I think you've hit on a lot of huge points. I think that we are particularly in a weird spot because...
And just, I'm sorry to cut you off, just to be clear though, in the case of the basketball team, clearly they still have a community.
Right.
That's the one that kind of bothered me deeper.
That's to honor your tees, right.
Yeah, that bothered me a little bit more because it wasn't just like, it was like, well, no, they're still doing something together.
Yeah.
And they've decided that don't involve JL in anything we do, but if we need something funny, he was the funny one.
Right. We'll get the clown. Get the clown. Send him $20, he'll do a cameo.
Yeah, as long as he's still Bozo, we feel like he might pivot to Pennywise at some point.
Right.
Just now, a floating basketball out of a sewer.
Listen, man, I feel a lot of what you were saying about being like the funny person. I feel like that was finally when I started having the ability to connect with people at like the end of college, end of high school and stuff like that. But even still, it never felt like they were fully wanted me around. Right. It's like you said, it was kind of like Mike's fun in class for 45 minutes. And then the weekend comes, nobody calls. No, but I'm in my room writing an illegal pad. And like, I understand that completely. And I do think as far as the things that you hit on societally, I think a lot of people feel that. And I think that the real part of the real issue is that you and I are of similar generations. I think we're maybe like half a generation apart. Sure. Maybe it's my own temperament. I feel much closer to you than I feel to the people that are younger than I am. Yeah. Usually, even if they're the same age gap.
Oh, it's the same way I feel closer to a 70-year-old than I do a 30-year-old.
Totally. And I'm with you on that. I think the sad part about what you are, there's two really sad things that are going on. We're caught in this in-between where we remember a life.
The second, just to cut to the chase, is I'm still doing comedy. So you can just do the first one.
We both remember a life where this wasn't like... the phone I'm holding up, ladies and gentlemen, where the phone was not like the phone was there to help you make plans to have a social life. It wasn't the social life. It wasn't group. There were no group chats. There were no. And listen, I'm in group chats. I like group chats.
It replaced the payphone. It was a more convenient payphone. That was it.
Right. So the general idea was like, let me make a call so I can get my day going. I'll call this person. Yeah, I'll meet you in 20 minutes. What a blah, 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 blah. It got your action. It got you an action.
Yeah.
Where this now is the action. And we remember that time.
And the action is the juice.
Yes. For me, the action is the juice.
Got what we got.
So
bon voyage, motherfucker.
Bon voyage, motherfucker. So we're
is he the new Godfather? Stay tuned after this break.
Like, where in this world will we remember where and we've seen it shift now to go like, wasn't it so much more fun 15 years ago when we were all out doing stuff? Wasn't that way better than what it is right now? The sadder thing to me is there are people now that are being born and living that don't remember that. This to them, this is so much more normal than it is to us to go like, you guys really don't remember what it was like when you had to like put the effort in to spend time with somebody. And to, I think the idea of effort in general is like, that's, people are beyond that. People don't want effort in any part of their life.
Can I jump in just on the effort point? Effort to me, I sometimes think about this because my mom was an example of there's more to life than effort.
Yeah.
Like, rise and grind, but if that's all, like, you'll be very angry if all. But sometimes when I'm working hard on something, sometimes I'm like, and I don't even mean this in a sad way, sometimes I'll go, maybe just doing this is being alive. maybe just working on something.
Yes.
Is life. Like, not all of life, but I'm saying maybe this is just because, like you said, I don't know what's sadder. I think we're seeing bad effects, of course, of people who are growing up with social media as their main thing, and smartphones as their main thing. But it's like, it's the analogy to comedy. I was born into comedy, so to speak, when it was still go to open mics,
yeah,
tape yourself, send that tape to someone, try to get more spots,
try
keep
to get
writing,
Letterman, try to get,
and
on,
that was right. it. That yep. was it. And it worked. Literally, my first 4 years of my career is how I thought my career should track. Busted my ass, was funny, pivoted after about a year and a half from impressions to once I started finding a little bit of my voice.
Yep.
Late night credit, 4.5 years in. Yep. Looked great. Thought it was like, this is exactly.
People start talking. People yes. like around start talking. Oh, that jail guy's
he's a real
fun.
Dick.
Yeah, exactly.
And then YouTube. Not the worst thing, but then YouTube. Okay, let me work on some YouTube stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then podcasts. Oh, well, okay. This is like a new pathway. This is a new thing. You got to diversify your creation portfolio. And then social media. And as Spencer Cox, my favorite porn star or governor, said, he said on 60 Minutes that social media is, he might have called it a cancer or something to that.
And, sounds right to me.
And to me, it's one of those things where we all know what the problems are. If we all threw these out, there'd be an adjustment period and then we'd be better off.
Yes.
I'd be left off an email chain instead of a text chain.
The only issue is basketball. So this is what starts, this is where I've been at with trying to get rid of, getting rid of social media for me personally has been, I'll never go back unless it's, it would take a real, something would really have to happen for me to have the desire to go back and use it. And it's been such a great gift for my mental health to just not have to overload my brain with that much stimulus all the time.
Yeah.
But I do think the issue is that it's like, why can't we get rid of nukes? Because the technology exists. Like, it's like once the genie is out of the
bottle. As long as there is a bad person.
Right.
They'll exist.
Right.
So it's like kids and cell phones. Like, my nephew was the last one to get a smartphone in his group. And it was when my brother and sister-in-law just kind of realized, I mean, the battle is lost.
Right.
We can simply mitigate damage now, but we've lost. The war is lost.
Right.
We're negotiating peace terms with our children.
Yes.
Because we've lost. Because once Tyler's mom, I don't believe a name of his friend, so yes. In case anybody listens to this.
Fake name.
Yeah.
Yes.
When Tyler's dad, who, you know, wants to be cool still, is like, so they'll give us 2 iPhone 48s?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, happy birthday, kid. I'm a cool dad.
Yeah.
Then the insecure mom is like, oh, Tyler's dad did? Okay, Mitch, you can have one. Yeah. Hang. Next thing you know, there's 10 friends in a group chat and, you know, your kid who's, you're only obeying what doctors and professionals advise,
right.
But he's left out and you don't want to make your child the sacrificial lamb at the altar of what's right.
Well, it's now the version of, remember growing up when there were like people that didn't have televisions and you were like, fucking weird.
No.
That's so weird. That would never happen. No. I there was a period when I'm in my early 20s where I would
meet
people.
My mom shoved me into ritzy private school pretty quick. So these people are like, you just have one home?
No, but I'm just saying, I don't mean that. I meant that they would do it at, like, their parents made them not watch television because they thought it was bad for them.
Oh, okay,
and it was
sure.
always like, if you had that one person or a couple people that you'd met who were in that situation, you're always like, this is so weird. What are we even going to talk about? Now that's the phone. Yeah. It's sort of like, oh, you're not on TikTok? What are we going to talk about? Like, what are we going to... It's really weird to have seen that it's gone that way. But I don't know, man. It's weird. Like, I wrestle with this a lot where I'm just like, it's a natural progression. It makes sense that we would get to another place. I don't know why we'd think that television the way it was forever would be that way forever. But now I just don't know. Like, as far as the future goes... I got to be honest. I think the industries are all going to be kind of in trouble. I really do, because I think at some point the money, it's gonna, like, television's gonna happen. That radio, you start to see it with radio. Like, radio now has value as, like, local. If Major World wants to advertise, you can still run your radio station, but it doesn't have influence.
Yeah,
it doesn't. It's there. It operates, and you might have, like, a little share of ear or whatever, but it's not. It's not the hottest ticket in town to listen to the fucking PLJ morning show anymore, you know?
I used to listen to that.
Of course. Yeah. I used to work for that.
Z100 and Z, PLJ.
Yeah. But it's
and I,
like,
loved listening when I worked at my church rectory as a teen.
Right.
I loved
in
listening to Yankee. Yeah. I loved in the 90s, the heyday. Early. This is early night. This is like they're on the rise. The Yankees are on the rise.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I loved sitting and listening to radio broadcasts.
Yeah, right.
It was just,
yeah.
And I know people will say things like, well, you know, every generation has said this about the next thing. I guarantee you, if you do the research, you will find some billionaire in Silicon Valley started that line.
Oh, yeah.
For now,
yeah.
Like, to be like, it was always like this.
Yeah.
This is... You know, and this won't cure, you know, my personal crisis with the basketball team. That's a different thing. You know, that's not a social media issue. It was like this collective issues of like, okay, so there's something off. There's a lot off putting about me. But in this case, it's so weird to be like, I'm not part of the team, but you still recognize me as having value in the humor department.
Right.
And that's such a, like, so many things where you're like, people, it's a more hurtful, and I don't want to say hurtful, it's probably the wrong word, but more, causes a little more soul searching than just my fans love my comedy and don't buy tickets. But it's kind of an analogous kind of thing where you're like, so I provide something to people, and whether it's full-fledged friendship or buying a ticket, that's a bridge too far, or saying goodbye when you're leaving the building. These are all, some of it's me, some of it's society, but they're all sort of colliding in this, boy, shit sucks for me right now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Laura busting out the heels was just literally a cherry on top of my dog shit son. No,
put
I'm kidding. But I don't, you know, the Unabomber comes up at times like this.
Naturally, right.
And I'm not about that life. But boy,
Unabombing?
Boy, was he on point when I saw this great miniseries on him starring Sam Worthington. Mm-hmm. And Paul Bettany, I think, played the Unabomber. I forget where it aired, but it was actually really good. It was on like the Paramount Network or something several years ago. I just remember watching it going, I'm not too familiar with the Unabomber.
Manhunt.
Yep. Yes. And I was like, I know of him. I heard of him. But like any news story that happened like post OJ and pre me graduating college.
Because that's right. Like a blur. Like 91?
I think
there?
He was doing the killing then, but I think it was like mid 90s, okay. I feel like, when he got caught. But as they're going through his manifesto in the show, you almost in hushed terms to yourself are like, no disagreement here.
That's the unfortunate thing about manifestos, dude. A lot of times you're kind of in on them.
I mean, he was a brilliant, you know? The thing is, he was a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
Fucking like Harvard math grad at like 16 or some shit. And you're like, or maybe 19 or something, but he nailed it, except the killing.
Yeah.
Like he kind of like, and he was talking about this shit, like, what he would have done today would have been, who knows? He might have like built his own nuke.
Who knows?
But, you know, without praising the Unabomber, like, you know, Luigi Mangione, it's the only reason I'm talking about this today is that it felt like it wasn't just my usual, hey, society's going to hell, but it was like these deeply personal to like somewhat personal to just anecdotal or out and about all seem to be going in this direction. I think it's the personal level of it that kind of triggered a sort of like full examination, because obviously my neighbor can do what he wants, but my teammates decided, like, you know, and like I said, I don't think they hate me, because I mean, it would be a compliment to my comedy if they were like, we really fucking hate him. But God, I respect his comedy. Mm-hmm. I think at this point in my life, I'd take that. Yeah. But instead, it's more like, we don't hate him. Just think he's kind of funny. That's like the worst place to be. It's just like, you're there.
Yeah. A little like the guy who's got the drugs.
Yeah. Right.
He's whatever, but he's got the pot.
Yeah. I mean, I wish, but then yet the market for my comedy somehow doesn't translate to drug money.
Yeah.
That would be, I could probably right. take
if
that.
If you were rich, you could live with it.
Me, just Scarface, but with like microphones on my desk and like counting cash. Take it to the limit.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
And just me going. And then me laughing with, you know, Sosa, Matt Friend as Sosa. And we're just like, Trump impersonator. Take it to the limit. anyway, this, like I said, this episode, like an episode of Seinfeld, had no purpose, I guess. But I think sometimes you called it, but I feel like you were a little more engaged than my usual depressing episodes. But
this actually wasn't as depressing.
Okay, good.
I mean, every now and then we need every 10 years, the good, they flush out all the bad blood.
That's right. Clemenza, I know. Clemenza. It's good every 10 years.
Fresh, cleans out all the bad blood.
But yeah, I don't need to drag this out. We can do a little comedy talk after this. Now it got depressing, Mike.
Yeah.
But this is not an episode with any kind of bow or any kind of, it's just.
Yeah, no button.
As you're doing comedy and living in a world that's increasingly, you know, you have to rely on some sense of community, even if it's pithy. And the more people that don't say hi to you in the morning,
yeah,
you know, and I don't think I'm unique. I hope I'm not unique in this. It just seems people are less social, less connected to their community. And I hate to give credit to the MAGA people, but, and I don't even think
they
Donald
got
Trump,
together.
but I don't even think Trump actually envisioned this at all.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people have said is he spoke to the alienation they were feeling, and much of that stemmed from bigotry, animosity, not all of it, but a lot of it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like it was just economic anxiety. We all know that's not true.
Yeah.
Some of it was racial animus or ignorant fear, but people love these fucking Trump rallies. Mm. And it's because they are community gatherings. I'm not saying all community is equal or good, but that is kind of what it became. And I don't think that even had anything to do with Trump. Trump was just the thing they were going to see, and they probably discovered some kind of community. And I don't know. I go to my meeting of like old Democrats in Jersey. And there's a little bit of that, I guess, you know, so I get it. But nothing, I don't think there's anything on the scale of like the MAGA movement for creating a community, which is sad. Because just like our politics, the left has to find a way to do all that, but for good, instead of whatever the fuck we're doing.
Dude, I gotta be honest. I don't think Americans, like, community is not a part of American culture. I really don't. The older that I get, and the farther away I get from being around a bunch of like ethnic Italians, and like as the farther I get from those people kind of dying off in my life, the farther I feel like we get from having big family gatherings with food and what, you know, I don't think that's an American thing to be honest with you.
Anymore. Or do you not think ever?
I think maybe post-war, there was this like propaganda that was like big, you know, white picket fence, two kids,
no blacks,
no black, right, exactly. Yeah. right, perfect world. Women, I guess you can vote, whatever. But
peacemaker. Anyway,
but I really don't think that like if you go to other countries, I think all over the world, maybe not in every single country, but like a lot of European countries, I think a lot of the African countries, and some South American countries, the whole like family is the root of everything. Community is the root of everything. And it's not about spreading your tentacles into every fucking thing. That's American culture, is like spreading. What is wrong? Like it's the perfect analogy for TikTok and going viral and never feeling satisfied. What is wrong with having, like being a shoemaker or a tailor or a cook or something, having one place, being really good at what you do, being successful enough to have like a full life with a family, you can afford a home, and what is wrong with just having that and then having time to have like a life where you live?
I think part of the problem, and this is going to speak to your radical left instincts, I don't think for many people that is possible anymore. That's part of the problem.
That might be part of the problem, right?
Maybe you can't achieve your small world of goodness anymore. But instead of being like, let me expand my world, we kind of don't have the satisfaction of like my family and my community, my neighbors or whatever it is, maybe to a certain extent. And now we're just like, well, I don't have the thing, and I'm not interested in fucking branching out either.
Yeah.
And so you kind of have the worst of both worlds, maybe. I don't know. This was just a random discussion of...
we got somewhere, though.
One gentleman and one monster talking for 45 minutes. But
I hope I'm not the monster.
Of course not. So we'll be back. Coscarelli's monster. Is that the name? You know,
I've created a monster.
You know, the doctor was Coscarelli.
Right.
But we will be back with a few minutes of comedy talk. But sorry this didn't go maybe anywhere. I don't think it's a horrible thing to sometimes just have a thought session. But that's where my mind is at these days. So we'll be back with some humor.
Just check that.
All right, and we're back. Mike, what have you thought of this very special episode of Rain on Your Parade?
Overall, I mean, I know that we're due for one of these probably once every month and a half.
Yeah.
I think that's probably been about, if I really track them, that seems like of the timeline.
Okay.
You know, like I said, I think that they're sometimes necessary to have, and I can usually tell when you walk in if we're going to be doing one. And I, you know.
Well, I was going to say, tracked. And I'm not going to do a punch down of the week because let's be honest, everybody, this has been a 50-minute punch down.
Yeah.
Punch down of the soul.
Yeah.
But when I was a little later than I wanted to be today because the E-train pulled up at Penn Station, mm-hmm. and I jogged my fat ass up the stairs and pulled out the credit card. And then I got through the turnstile, and then this short young woman with big headphones was buried in her phone. And I like the doors were open and I had to do like three moves. And so I was like, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And then the doors closed. And of course I was like, you fuck.
Yeah. And JL smash.
No, because it was like so such a perfect embodiment of what bothers me, where it was like this young woman. First of all, young woman, have you not heard? Like, I love that subway station. The subway has never been more dangerous. But I can't stop looking at my phone standing on the platform.
Right,
I'm not blaming any victims here, but nobody's changed them. It's like people will tell you in one moment, the city and the subway, it's a fucking hellscape down there. And nobody's alert. Nobody's changing any of their behavior. So I'm like, well, either you're addicted to your phone and should be institutionalized, or you're full of shit and it's not as dangerous as people are saying. Anyway. Yeah. I missed that train, and then she realized she got out at the wrong exit. And as I'm like lumbering angry, like just like, oh God, to the other end of the train, closer to the exit I need, she just comes like marching as fast as she can the other way. And I was like, where was that fucking hustle when your neighbor, your community member was trying to get on the train? You don't know where I was going. Mm. And I said, excuse me, I could have trucked you into oblivion, little lady.
Yeah.
And instead, I tried to be, and you know, and then you were like, she probably was walking behind me going, why is this guy so slow?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, comedy talk.
Yeah. I would do it quick.
I know. All I was saying, the real comedy talk here is in line with this discussion. I said during the break, and I feel like this is more of an accurate. I watched Cristela Alonso's special, Upper Classy, on Netflix. Mm. You'd think I'd like it. She kind of looks to me like a Latina Sherry O'Terry. She's giving, and if
yeah.
if you like go into the recesses of my brain, you're like, where does JL's erogenous zone start? It'd be a Latina Sherry O'Terry.
Yeah. Okay.
I love Sherry O'Terry.
Yeah, she's great.
So talented, yeah. So cute.
Yeah.
Like such a and then you just throw some adobo on it, some Bustelo coffee.
Yeah.
Anyway. The special was so, I thought. It had some funny parts, but she's a little too actressy, I think. The kind of smiling too much, like not smiling too much, but where it felt like, and then there were the too many profound moments, like left turns into let me make a big statement. It wasn't the worst, but I wouldn't really recommend it. But I think better to end this episode on what I said to you during the break. Comedy for me, my whole life has been something ranging from a coping mechanism to a diversion to a way of expression to a pathway towards possibly success. But it's always for at least my adult life, comedy has been about making something fun that I like and then hoping people like it, like staying true to what I think is funny or good. And then that's the risk. That's the roulette ball. Will they find it funny? And that rush of having your work and thoughts and ideas confirmed by strangers is that's what it's about. And that's gone. I think that's why I'm so bummed about the comedy aspect of my life. For all my complaining over the years, I don't feel like a comedian anymore. I feel like a content maker. And I hate that, like, because it's taken, I'm doing the best I can and try, but it doesn't feel the same anymore. It feels like I'm making work for algorithms that don't honor my fans or me. They honor themselves and they force me into compromises of what I want to put out sometimes for fans that are no longer as engaged as fans used to be. If you're not part of like a left-wing movement or a right-wing like manosphere cult, you don't get the same level of engagement and support for your art. And then you're just left there going like, what is this really for? I know my shit is not going to live on for generations. Of course you want it to. You want to feel some sense of immortality to your work, no matter how small. But I've never been so aware of how fleeting my own work is in its own time than I am now. So, I don't know, folks. Next week, I'll have something, you know, more traditional, more theme oriented. But sometimes it's just a soul and palate cleanser. So I hope you got something out of this, or at least found it interesting. But I will see you next Thursday.